Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, good morning, Radius. It's great to see you today. How many are enjoying the beautiful weather we have? Amen. How many like the heat? Okay, some of you don't like. You know, it could snow in 6 weeks. It has done that before, September 2nd. You know, and I hear some disagreement in the crowd. That's why I opened up with this, okay? Because my message today is called I Disagree, all right? So it's good to have you. We are on week two of our mindset series where we're talking about what should be the mindset of a Christ follower during an election year. I want to welcome those who are watching online today. Thank you for being with us. We're glad that you've tuned in this morning. And today, as we talk about the mindset, last week we talked about it's so easy for our mindset to be hijacked by the mindset of the world. But God wants us to have a different mindset. What kind was that? A kingdom mindset. That's right. We need a mindset of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So the kingdom mindset must be first, and it's above all else. Now realize the kingdom mindset is bigger than politics. If you live by, adopt the kingdom mindset, it's going to influence your marriage, it's going to influence your family, influence your boss, your coworkers. Living with a kingdom mindset is way bigger than politics. So what we talk about today not only applies to the political realm, but it applies to really every arena of our lives. When we listen to this message, we need to have a humble heart and say, this is for me. Because it's going to be easy to say, you know what? So-and-so needs to think like that. If they just got their act together, then it would be great. No, we need to focus on ourselves. It starts with us, the kingdom mindset. So what does a kingdom mindset look like when you and I disagree with someone? What does it look like when we disagree? How do I disagree and still show the love of Jesus? We don't all have to agree. How many have ever been in a disagreement? Okay, I think almost every hand is raised here. How many of you in that disagreement, you have been right? No, don't show your hands, okay? We all think we're right. But do you realize that disagreement is a normal and healthy part of life? I disagree with my wife quite often. Sometimes we disagree where we should go eat on date night. Sometimes we disagree on what we should do on a Sunday afternoon. Should we go for a hike up on the mountain? Should we go for a walk along the river? Should we stay and watch a movie? Should I go golfing? You know, we disagree. And disagreement is normal, and it's even okay for believers to disagree. We see that Peter and Paul disagreed, that Barnabas and Paul disagreed. I mean, Paul and about everybody disagreed. We all disagree, and it's a normal part of life. It's something that we should anticipate. But how do we handle disagreements? Because the way we handle disagreements as Christ followers should set us apart from the way the world handles disagreements. A kingdom mindset operates differently from the world. The world doesn't do this right, and I confess sometimes I don't do it right. And I think all of us would say there have been times I haven't handled a disagreement properly. Right now, our world feels like it's filled with conflict. How many feel that? It's like everywhere you look, everywhere you watch, the world's filled with conflict. We yell at each other. We blast each other on social media. And our phones are filled with polarizing opinions. You go on Facebook and somebody writes an article, they post an article, and then if you read the post underneath, someone blasts the article, but then someone will blast the poster, and someone will blast the poster who blasted the poster. How many know what I'm talking about? We see it all over the place. Now, I have to ask, are you entertained sometimes by the posts you look at? How people are just ripping and tearing each other apart? Here's the thing. Is God happy when people are just shredding people, ripping into pieces? No. And if I'm being entertained about what grieves the heart of God, then I need a heart check. I need an attitude check. And it is so easy for us to get caught up in the mindset of the world where we lose the kingdom mindset. You know, I wonder if social media is not the modern-day Roman Colosseum where you watch people tear each other apart. The nature of disagreement in our world today is unhealthy, it's unloving, and it's unproductive. Even Christians are guilty of it. And I know families today who still are not talking because of the way how they handled COVID. They think they did too much. They think they didn't do enough. And they have broken relationship. And friends, as believers, that is not right. That is not right. We need to have a heart of love. But in a dysfunctional world, you have to yell louder to be heard. Because everyone yells louder. And then when yelling's not enough, you become more provocative. You start attacking the person and not just the idea. And this is the thing. In our culture today, idea and identity have become intertwined. So now when you attack my idea, you're attacking me. You're attacking me. And it becomes personal. And we see it on almost every front. People are so violent in words, in attitude, and sometimes in action. And it's not just politics, but it's in your marriages. It's in your families. And here's the thing. Are you yelling at your spouse and getting louder and getting more and more provoking them to anger, trying to prove you're right? Because what we're talking about today not only applies to politics, it applies to your relationship with your spouse, relationship with your children, those kids who haven't talked to you in weeks or months, because every time you get on the phone with them, you start talking about your politics and, man, you just, how can you think that way? How can you vote that way? Friends, we need a change in our minds, in our hearts. We need a kingdom mindset. The good news is that it is possible. What does a kingdom mindset look like? It looks like love. We looked at this last week as we talked about getting hijacked. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "Now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So our love for each other is going to prove to the world that we're followers of Jesus. But Jesus takes love one step further. He multiplies it exponentially. He talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 44. And actually, we're going to back up and go to verse 43. Jesus says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." How many know that's easy to do? I can love my neighbor. I can love my friends. I love those who see things the way I see. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus says, pray for those you don't like. Pray for those who slander you. Pray for those who speak ill of you. Pray for those who make your life miserable. How many saw the opening ceremony of the Olympics? And maybe you've seen that caricature of the Last Supper. And what they're saying is that, well, that was not the Last Supper. That was the Greek god Dionysus. And that's what it was. But it's interesting because even people who are drag queens and that, one of the persons who won the third season of France's Drag Race France, he noted that, man, that's a portrayal of the Last Supper. And so people are up in arms, but I have this question. How much have we prayed for those people who made that portrayal? How much time have we spent in prayer? I mean, have we spent more time posting on Facebook than we have on our knees saying, God, be with the person that created that, and then those actors who portrayed that drag scene of the Last Supper? Have we said, God, what's taken place in their life that there's so much pain that they would do that, and they would reject God, they would make a mockery and a blasphemy? Why would they do that? Lord, heal that pain. God, show them your love. God, forgive them. God, bring them to salvation. Have we taken time to pray for them? Have we taken time to pray for our enemies, to pray for those that make life miserable, to pray for those who see politics, political issues, different than the way we see them, to see the social issues different than the way we see them? Or do we yell and get provocative so that we can be heard because we're right? Friends, a kingdom mindset is a totally different mindset. Jesus said in Luke 6:32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. In your notes this morning, the whole point of love is to look different from the world. The whole point of love is to look different from the world. As the world is yelling at each other and becoming louder and louder, we live to a different rhythm of life. And we whisper with love, and that whisper will be deafening over the yells. We need to be a people that love everyone, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how violently they attack us. We need to be better lovers than the world is haters, because that's what we're called to. That is the kingdom mindset. Now, we don't let truth go, all right? In your notes this morning, we need to initiate in love but remain grounded in truth. We don't let go of truth just to make the world happy, to make other people happy. We initiate in love, but we remain grounded in truth. And truth is not always my opinion. I think it is, but how many of you have ever held to something passionately, and now, years later, you think totally different? Raise your hand. I know I do. There's some things I've changed my mind on. I thought it was true. I held to it. Yes, it's right. But now I don't believe that anymore. So our opinion is not always truth. And we need to realize that. So what does it mean to love the person I disagree with? We're going to look at 3 points today. Number one, loving means seeing them from God's perspective. Loving them means seeing them from God's perspective. A dysfunctional mindset categorizes people, and it almost dehumanizes them with people who disagree with us politically. Why do we live in this culture that dehumanizes people? I think the big reason is because of our electronic devices. Because, see, you see, on a device, we see what someone posts, and we don't see a person. It's not like the person's in front of us and we're having this conversation with them face to face. Instead, we see the person as an idea. And now when we attack, because we have keyboard courage, I can say what I want to say, and they're not going to be in front of me. They're not going to yell at me. They're not going to punch me. They're not going to pull out my hair. I've got this keyboard courage and I can say it. And I never am going to meet the person, so I never have to face the consequences of what I said. And as we do this, our whole society, we dehumanize one another so that ideas and identity now are one. And so now if you disagree with my idea, you are attacking me, and you're intolerant, you're wicked, you're evil, you're a bigot, you're a hater. That is what has taken place in our culture. But this, it also happens in our homes. Are you doing the same thing on Facebook that you do to your spouse? Are you doing it to your kids? Because here's the thing, politics is just a reflection of the home. Where we're at today in a society is a reflection of the home. The home is the basis of everything. As the marriage goes, so goes the family. As the family goes, so goes the church. So goes the community. So goes the politics, the legislature, the laws. So goes the education. It all starts in the home. If you want to change society, change the home. And so I ask you this morning, are you disagreeing in love in your home, or are you attacking, yelling, provoking? God calls his followers to have a kingdom mindset, a mindset of love. And so we need to see people the way God sees them. To have a healthy, loving conversation, how do we see them? John 3:16. How many could quote John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. In your notes, the person you disagree with is someone God is after. The person you disagree with is someone God is after, someone that Jesus loved, someone that Jesus died for. You will never meet a person that Jesus doesn't love. You'll never meet a person that God doesn't care for, that Jesus didn't die for. God is after them. They are not an opinion. They are not an idea. They are a person that is greatly loved by God. So when you and I tear someone down and we're just ripping into them, whether it's online or in person, disagreeing about something political, some social issue, whatever it is, God's saying, why are you tearing down someone that I have gone to great lengths to try to restore their soul back to me? Someone that I'm chasing after, why are you so angry, so vicious to them? Don't you realize that I want to use you to build a bridge to them? And what you're doing is pushing them away, not drawing them closer to me. When we tear down, and it is so easy to have the mindset of the world, not having a kingdom mindset of love, that we can attack and not see people as a person that God is chasing after. Because our mission is to help all people find and follow Jesus. We can't do that when we're attacking, when we're yelling, when we're being disrespectful. God is calling us to love. I need to represent Jesus in every single conversation I have. Realize that I might be the only Jesus some people will ever see, they'll ever hear. And so what I say needs to be bathed in love. I'm a better lover than they are haters. Seeing them, also in your notes, seeing them from God's perspective also helps me find common ground. Seeing them from God's perspective helps me find common ground. Always start by finding common ground. For example, let's take the border. You want to find a place of common ground. I think we can all agree we want America to be safe, to be protected. At the same time, we want people to have an opportunity to leave a land of oppression, to leave a land of poverty where they don't have any opportunities, to be able to come to America, to experience freedom of religion, freedom of speech, not to be persecuted, to have the opportunity to prosper and to grow. I'm glad America had an open border when my ancestors came from Germany decades ago. Why would I want to shut people out from having the same opportunity that's been given to me? I think we can come to an agreement on that. And so as we see what the common ground is, then we can begin to discuss politics and take a look at that. And one of the best ways to establish common ground is by asking questions. So many times when someone shares something, and you can tell they're passionate, maybe even heated about something, what do? Yeah, but... Yeah, but, and we're ready to attack, defend, but instead of doing that, say, wow, you are really passionate about that. Why are you that way? Why does this interest you so much? How I can tell that this really grips your heart, this is really important to you. Why is it so important? And as you ask questions, then listen to what they have to say. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was a master question asker. And people who didn't love him, he asked questions. Jesus built a common ground. And when we do that, in your notes this morning, when you establish common ground, what will this do? It de-escalates the situation. The reason it does is because when you start saying, why do you think that? Why do you feel that way? When you understand what's shaping their mind and their heart, you've moved from opinion to a heart level. You see, when people talk about ideas, they're loud. But when we talk from the heart, we get quieter. So as we find common ground, we're getting to the heart, to who they are. And it's like we show that we care. That old cliche, people want to know you care more than they know what you know. They want to know that you care before they give a rip about what you know. We need to show that we care, and we do that by asking questions. Jesus, he did that for us. Jesus did that for us. Number two in your notes, loving people, it means understanding their perspective. It means understanding their perspective. No two people have the same story. We all have different histories, different backgrounds, different life experiences, different educations. We have different perspectives, and when you understand their story, then you know what has shaped them and you can relate to them. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus, he gave up his divine privilege and he became a slave. Did you realize that? That's what Philippians 2 says. He became a slave and he became a human. God in the flesh became man. So Jesus, he knows what it's like to be a human. He was slandered. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was persecuted. Christ knows what it's like to have enemies, and he did it so that he could relate to us. Jesus is not asking us to love our enemies and to do something that he never did. He did it, and he loved them in a way that we never have. God wants us to love our enemies, and to do that, we have to put ourselves in their shoes just as Jesus put himself in our shoes. So if I can see their perspective, and to do that, I have to listen more than I speak. For me to understand their perspective, I have to listen more than I speak. James 1:19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. How many of you say you've got that verse down? You have perfected that verse. Anyone here? You are quick to listen. You know, I think most of us, our natural tendency is it's reversed. We're slow to listen, quick to speak, quick to get angry. In disagreements, I need to talk less and ask questions more. And then when I do talk, I have found this, I need to talk slowly. When he says be slow to speak, it's not just wait to speak, but then when I speak slowly. Columbo it. How many remember the detective show Columbo? You know Columbo, when he was interviewing someone, the detective is like, you know, it took him a while to kind of get out the question he was saying. He was just Columboing it, going really slow. Here's the thing. When you Columbo a time of conflict, it takes the emotion down. It de-escalates it. And a soft answer turns away wrath. But a lot of times when there's a disagreement, what do? We're quick to speak. And then when we talk fast. We talk really fast. And what happens when you talk fast? You get louder and louder and higher pitch. And it just raises the emotion. It raises the volume. And it doesn't go well. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Because I want to listen to the core of the person. Why do you feel that way? Why are you so passionate about that? Apparently, when I said that statement, I struck a nerve. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. That's my opinion. Why do you feel that way? And if I can understand their perspective, where they're coming from, you know what it does for me? I'm more likely to give them grace. I'm more likely to be understanding. I'm more likely to be patient and not attacking. I'm not, you got to see it my way. I'm right. Let me ask you this. What's more important to you, winning an argument or winning that person to Jesus? You see, the kingdom mindset says it's about their soul. It's not about their political leaning. And it is so easy for us to get caught up in, this is right. They're tearing America apart. Our moral fabric is falling apart. We got to change them. Friends, only the Holy Spirit can change the heart. And if they see us yelling and attacking and they will not see love, we're not proving anything to them. So we need to see their perspective, because I can see them at the core. It'll show that I care and I can gain a hearing. This morning, what is your emotional intelligence? Do you know what emotional intelligence is? Emotional intelligence is understanding your emotions, managing and restraining your emotions, and then understanding the emotions of others. And here's the thing, as you and I begin to try to learn their perspective and ask questions, it's going to rile you up. They're going to say things, and they say, well, I heard this from so-and-so. And here's the thing, to really gain their perspective, you're going to have to go read what so-and-so said. You're going to have to listen to podcasts that make your blood boil. And as you do, you're going to be on this emotional roller coaster, and the Holy Spirit might be able to point out, hey, you need to develop emotional intelligence here. You're not restraining your emotions. If you get ticked off listening to some guy who's recorded and it's not a live conversation, how can you do it when it's staring you right in the face and they're yelling at you personally? And so for us, we need to practice that. Read things, listen to things that disagree with what we see, because that's going to help us to understand where they're coming from. And it will help us to develop emotional intelligence, being quick to listen, slow to anger, slow to speak, and become that person of love. All right, let's look at point number three this morning. What does it mean to love someone we disagree with? Loving means laying down our pride. Loving means laying down our pride. We love to win an argument. In marriage, that's one of the biggest tensions. Who's right? Who's right? Who likes to be right? Yeah, I like to be right, and I am all the time. No, I'm not. Sometimes it comes across that way. But hey, at the end of the day, it's more important that I'm a person of love than I'm a person who's right. My heart attitude in any disagreement needs to be, God, what do you want me to learn from this? I need to be a person of humility. In your notes, pride prevents us from learning. Pride prevents us from learning. When you've got this proud attitude, you can't understand where they're coming from. You don't know why they think that way. You don't know the hurt. You don't know what's been said to them. You don't know if another Christ follower offended them at some time. And so they've got all these walls that are built up between them and Jesus. And you don't know how to take those walls down. And when they see you, they just see another attacking, negative, Christian, judgmental. And we need to show them love. We need to lay down our pride. Pride causes us to think, I don't even need to know what they think. And you know what happens when someone says something and it's like, I don't even need to know what they think. You know what that says? It says, I'm a moron. Because I don't care where they're at. I'm not willing to do what Jesus did. Come down and put himself in my shoes. Walk the way I walk, to go through what I go through. I'm not willing to understand where they're coming from. That's what pride does. And it breaks the heart of God. You know, in the past 4 years in politics, I've seen so many Christians be hijacked by the wrong mindset. And we haven't been loving. We've been yelling. We've been attacking. We haven't been praying for our enemies. We weren't willing to do what Jesus said when he's hanging on the cross, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they do." Friends, when you and I see the perspective other people have, it's going to open up a door for you and I to go into a deeper conversation. A conversation, it may take a while to get around to talking politics because you understand where they are, what they're going through. You're identifying with them, you're empathizing with them, and you're building a bridge and you're showing them the true gospel. That God so loved the world, he gave his son. God's chasing after you. He loves you. He cares about you more than you really know. Are you willing to lay your pride down? I want to be a church. And when I say church, not Radius as a whole, but you and me. I want us as a church, because the church is people. I want us to be as individuals that we are better lovers than haters. We're better listeners than talkers. We are great at understanding. We are great at developing perspective and establishing common ground than just yelling and getting our point out there to show we're right, that you're destroying America. Because when we do that, love will change the world. How many of you have sacrificed a relationship? You've burned it on the altar so you could be right. Raise your hand. Think about it. You got into a disagreement with someone and you wanted to be right and you burned that relationship. Don't raise your hand, but how many can think of something? I can. Where I had to be right and it severed it. Friends, it's time for the church to be like Christ. For us to be loving, to be caring, to ask questions, to be more concerned about their soul than about where their stance is for the election or the issues, who they're going to vote for. We're going to talk about voting in 2 weeks. We're going to take a break next week, and we'll talk about voting. How do we vote? It's a place of worship, the voting booth is. But friends, before we're ever ready for a conversation on politics, we've got to have this down. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you will help us to love the way that you loved, building bridges, developing common ground, walking in our shoes. Help us to understand others. Give us a kingdom mindset. You know, this morning, we've touched on many areas, and maybe God's spoken something to your life. Maybe you realize there is a person you need to pray for. Maybe they're slandering you, they're attacking you, they're rejecting you, they're harming you, and God's speaking to you that he's bringing a name to mind. Maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family member, and you need to pray for them. How many here would say, that's me? I got to pray for someone. Someone that's making my life miserable, that's hurting me. Several hands going up. That's awesome. Maybe some of you this morning, you need to develop common ground. And you're in relationships and it's kind of just this argumentative thing. But you realize today, the people you're talking politics or religion about, you're trying to witness to them, you're trying to show them to Christ, you really don't know who they are. You really don't know their story. You don't know what they think, but not why they think what they think. You don't know what's shaped them to where they are today. And God's saying, you need to start asking questions. You need to develop common ground. You need to see their perspective. How many, God's giving you a person. You see that person, you realize, I need to establish common ground. I need to see life from their perspective. Put your hand up. Thank you. Some of you this morning, you know that your marriage needs to be better than what it is. and you realize the way you're disagreeing. I've been praying for your marriages. I'm praying for your family. Maybe you realize a relationship with your kids, and you realize, I need to change my conversation, my attitude, not attack, but I need to ask questions to see where the person's coming from. Some of you this morning, you're entertained by this society that rips things apart. You love watching the political comedians, the late night talk shows, late night comedians, and they just rip things apart and we laugh at it. But you realize that just creates in you kind of more antagonism, more hate, more anger, more of that provoking attitude. And you realize you've got to change some things. How many God's speaking to you about that in your life this morning? Thank you. What I want us to do today is we talk about being a person of love. How many would say, I need greater love? I need to listen more. I need these things we've been talking about. I need to be a greater person of love. Just put your hand up. There's many hands going up. I want us all to stand this morning. Our worship team is going to sing this song. It's called Make Room. It talks about surrendering, laying things down. And if you need to lay down your pride, you need to lay down some things, you need God to work things in your heart, I just want you, as this song sings, to say, God, change me. Work in me. Give me that kingdom mindset of love so that I can prove to the world that I follow you. Let's sing it together.
Shake up the ground of all my traditions. mission, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to.
Father God, we want to chase you now. We want to make room for what you want in our lives. God, help us to see people. God, those we're disagreeing with, to see them as people that you're chasing after, people that you love, Jesus, people you died for. God, help us to understand them. God, help us to ask questions. Help us to listen. Help us to find out why the way they are. God, to see what where they're at, what shaped their life. I pray that you would change our mindset. Forgive us for always having to be right. Forgive us, Father God, for always trying to win an argument. God, help us to win in love. God, help us to be forgiving. Help us to pray for those that rub us the wrong way, those who are hurting us, slandering us, harming us. Jesus, make us like you. God, we want to lay our pride down today. Oh, Jesus, give us kingdom mindsets. I pray for marriages today. God, that you will restore. God, that couples will forgive each other. They will pray for each other. God, they will ask questions as to why they're thinking that way. Lord, help them to talk with civility and kindness and respect. Oh, Jesus, change our homes and change our world. Thank you, God, for your great love for us. We make room for whatever changes you want to make in our lives. Thank you, God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.